In this video, we'll add all the pages in the blog reader, including the items page, which is a list of all the blogs, the split page, which is a list of the blog posts for the selected blog, and the detail page, which lists the selected blog post in a web view control. We'll also set up data binding and navigation for the items page. Let's get started. Visual Studio Express 2012 for Windows 8 ships with a collection of page templates that are useful for a variety of situations. Let's take a look. When I click Add New Item, I'll go down to Windows Store, and I see a number of these different page types. Now you can read the description here for all the different page types like group detail and so on. What I want to do is actually add an items page. And that's a page to display a collection of items. And I'll go ahead and give it a better name here. We'll just call this items page instead of items page 1. Down here at the bottom. And I'll click Add. Now, Visual Studio will prompt you. This addition depends on files that are missing from your project. Without these files, and I'll just go ahead and say, yeah, Visual Studio, go ahead and add those. And you'll see that it adds a number of things under common for our base page that we'll go into a little later. Now, because Visual Studio has added a number of these helper classes, the new page is actually going to show an error in the designer until you build the helper classes it depends on. So let's go ahead and click Build, Build Solution. And now we should be able to see the Items Page Visual Designer. Now what I'll do is just zoom this out to say 33%, so we can see this represents our Items Page template. Our application is going to have three levels of hierarchy. The top level is going to be Items Page, and that's a list of all the blogs. When you click on one of the Items Page, we're going to take you to a split page that we're going to add in just 1 second here. And then on a split page, if you click a particular blog post, we'll take you to a detail page. So let's go ahead and add the split page and detail page to our application as well. So I'll say Add, New Item, select Split Page, and let's make sure it's just called split page and not split page 1. So I'm selecting the split page template, calling it split page, click Add. And now while that's going, I'll do Add, New Item. We'll select the basic page template and name this, zoom in, detailpage.xaml. And I'll zoom out and click Add. When you add the page templates to your project and look at the XAML and code behind, it's apparent that these page templates do a lot of work for you. In fact, it's easy to get lost. So let's take a closer look at the page templates and see what's in them. All the XAML page templates for Windows Store apps have the same format. Let's look at the XAML for the page templates. And in this case, what I'll do is click the swap panes and then full screen this. So that way we get as much real estate as possible to look at the actual XAML. And I'll jump this to 140%. Now the first thing you'll notice in this is page resources. And that's styles and data templates for the page that are defined in this section. We'll talk more about this in the Creating a Consistent Look with Style section. Next is the app content, and that's the controls and content that make up the app UI that are defined within the root layout panel. And at the bottom is the visual state manager. Animations and transitions that adapt the app to different layouts and orientations are defined in the visual state manager section. So in this section, you'll see different visual states for when the application is in full screen landscape versus, say, portrait, versus snapped mode. And we'll talk a lot about these different layouts in the Adapting to Different Layouts video. Now these template pages you use are all derived from the Layout Aware page class. If we do View Code, and I'll just zoom in here to 140%, and we'll see that these are derived from the Layout Aware page. Layout Aware page is an implementation of the page class that enables important functionality for Windows Store app development. And that includes the mapping of application view state to visual view state, which lets the page adapt to different resolutions, orientations, and views, go back and go home event handlers for basic navigation, a default view model to give you simple bindable data source, and ways to save state and load state methods that work with the suspension manager class to manage application session state. The page templates also use styles and templates defined in standard styles.xaml that apply the design guidelines for Windows Store apps. You'll use some of these styles as a starting point and modify copies of them to customize the look and feel of your application. Now, since our application defines multiple pages, the detail page, the items page, and split page, we need to be able to navigate between these pages. The XAML UI framework provides a built-in navigation model that uses frames and pages and works much like the navigation in a web browser. The frame control hosts pages and has a navigation history that you can use to go forward and back through pages you visited. You can pass data between pages as you navigate. The first thing we need to do is navigate to our top level page, which is going to be items page. To do that, let's exit full screen mode and jump into app.xaml. And let's look at the code in app.xaml.cs. First, let's increase the size to 140% here. And let's scroll down to the onLaunched method. We'll full screen this. This code gets an existing frame if there is one. Otherwise, it creates a new one and sets it as the window's content. And if we scroll down here, after the code from the last video that we added, under our rootframe.content equals null, we actually see a code to navigate to the main page XAML page. Instead of navigating to the main page, we're actually now going to navigate to the items page. So we'll see that our ability to pass in items to the name to the navigate method, and that'll create an instance of the items page. Just by changing the items page, let's click F5 and test. This will run our application. Now, instead of the main page loading, it's actually loading up the items page. Let's click Alt-Tab, and we'll exit full screen mode and stop Visual Studio. The default mainpage.xaml that came with our project can now be safely deleted, so I'll go ahead and just do that. Loading items page. As you notice, the items page had no content. What we want to do is actually load up and set the feed data source for that items page. So let's go to the itemspage.xaml.cs file and double click it to open it. And let's zoom to 140%. And I'll full screen this just so we can follow along a little better. Let's go down to the load state method and we're going to add some code to set the default view model. And what we're going to do is set the feed data source. And we'll just build the data source variable here. And let's make sure we're casting correctly. And we're going to do app.current.resources in that feed data source that we defined in the app.xaml file. And if this is null, feed data source isn't null, then we'll actually bind it. To bind it, since we're using the layout aware page, we'll say this.defaultViewModel, call this items, equals feedDataSource.feeds. Now let's go ahead and actually test our page by clicking F5. And what should happen here is the items page loads and we see a grid of all the blogs. Navigating to split page. What we want to do is have a user be able to select one of these blogs, and when the user picks that blog from the collection, you navigate from the items page to the split page. To do this navigation, you want the grid view items to respond to a click event like a button. To make the grid view item clickable, we're going to set the selection mode and isItemClickEnabled properties. Then we can add a handler for the grid view's item click event. So let's jump back into Visual Studio, and we'll stop our project. And since we're in the itemspage.xaml.cs, what I want to do is look at the designer. So I'll click View Designer. And now we're in the itemspage.xaml page. Now let's select in the middle of the page, and you should be able to select the item grid view. The item grid view here, and I'll just increase the font size a little bit here. Now what we're going to do is change some of the properties. So I'll just zoom in, make sure that you have the item grid view, and we'll set that isItemClickEnabled property. Now there's two ways to get at this property. We can either click the drop arrow to see the advanced properties, or we can just type in the name of a property and actually search for it here, and that's what I'll do. Is item click enabled? What I do want to do is make sure that it is click enabled. So what we've done is set is item click enabled equal to true. I want to zoom out, and next I want to click this event handler, which is this little lightning icon here, and I'll zoom out. And we want to scroll down to the item click event. The item click event. and just double click here to build the item click handler. And notice the event handler is created for us and opened in the code editor, so you can add code that's executed when this event occurs. Here, we're going to navigate to the split page and pass the title of the selected feed. Let's add a comment here, and we'll say navigate to the split page, and we'll pass the title of the clicked item. So to do that, we'll do if e.clickedItem doesn't equal null, let's get the title of the clicked item, string title equals feed data e.clickedItem. That represents an item, and just for simplicity, we're doing wrapping this, and we have our title. So at this point, we have the passed in title. I now need to tell the frame to navigate to a new page. To do that, we'll do this frame navigate. We need to tell it what kind of page it is. So we'll say type of, it's going to be a split page. That's going to contain all the blog posts for the currently selected blog. And we'll know what blog to load by using the title value that we're passing in. Now that we've done this for the grid, we also need to do for the items list view. The items list view is what's shown on this page when the app is snapped. To do that, let's jump back into the items page. And what I'll do is just minimize the grid, and we see this list view. And with item list view selected, let's actually zoom in here on the properties window, make sure we have item list view. And then in our search box, we started typing is item click enabled. We want to make sure that this is click enabled. Now let's switch to the event handler button, which gives us the list of event handlers for that item list view. And under item click, one of the things we can do is reuse the same click event for the grid and the list view. Let's double click the control to just jump back into that method handler. And regardless of whether we're on a grid view or a list view, we're going to get an item click event args and navigate to the split page passing in the title. Now let's save all our files. And as you can see, for navigation, we're going to use the frame controls navigate, go forward, and go back methods. To navigate back, the Visual Studio page templates include a back button. The handler for the back button's click event calls the frame.goback method. The navigate method expects a type name, in this case split page, and an object. This method lets you navigate and pass a data object to the new page. You use this method to pass data between your pages. The first parameter, type of split page, is the type of the page that you are navigating to. The second parameter is the data object that you want to pass to the page that you're navigating to. In this case, we're passing the title of the clicked item. You could pass your custom data objects as navigation parameters, but they won't be persisted and will even cause an exception when you save the app's session state using the Suspension Manager class. In order to save the navigation state of the app using Suspension Manager, you must pass only basic serializable types as the navigation parameter. That's why you pass the title of the item and have a method in the feed data source class that we built previously to get the item from the title. Before you move on to the split page, you need to make one more change to the item page. The default page title is My Application, and we want to change this page title to be Windows Team Blogs. To change the page title, let's switch back to itemspage.xaml and select the page title. And let's go back to the properties window, and we'll just use Windows key plus to zoom in here to give you a better view. And we have the page title text block selected. And let's switch back to our properties view. And under here, let's type text. Let's scroll up here, and we see that the text property is bound to a static resource. The property marker is the small box symbol to the right of each property value. The text property marker is green to indicate that it's set to a resource. What I'm going to do here is just zoom out so we can get a better view. And you're going to left click on that resource and select Edit Resource. And now we can change the name from My Application to Windows Team Blogs. Go ahead and click OK. And we'll see in the Visual Designer that the page has now been updated to Windows Team Blogs for the application name. Let's go ahead and just test what we've built so far. And we see our new app name title. We see our click event fires. And we see that we're taken to the new split page, but there's no data yet. That's what we'll be adding in our next step. To get started, in Solution Explorer, open up the splitpage.xaml.cs file. And zoom it to 140% to make it easily to read here. And let's full screen this. So under page state management, we do need to expand this region. And we're looking for the load state method. And inside the load state method, we're going to add some code. In our last video, we showed how the navigation parameter has been passed to this split page. We want to be able to read that navigation parameter and then load data using the feeddatasource.getFeed method. Then we'll set that return feed data to the default view model with the key feed and add the feeddata.items property to the default view model with the key items. And it's basically these two to-dos that we're going to do. First, let's get the navigation parameter. We'll say string feed title equals, and we know we're getting a string here, the navigation parameter. Next, let's build a feed data class, and that represents a single blog. Feed data, and we'll just call it feed data equals, and we'll use the method that we built previously to get a feed. Feed data source dot get feed, and we'll pass in the feed title. Now we'll do a quick check here. If feed data not equal to null, if it's not null, then we want to set the default view model for the feed and the items. So we'll say this dot default view model and we'll set that equal to the feed data. And now we want to be able to set the items, this default view model, items as the key. We'll set feed data and we'll point it to that list of items. And let's click F5 or the run button. And this will load up the list of blogs. Let's click on a blog. And now we actually see all of the blog posts for that blog. And we can, for example, change the different blogs to jump between them. One thing to notice is we don't have a page title on here. Let's go ahead and set that up. I'll click here and click stop to stop Visual Studio. As you may have noticed in the to-do, there were two items that we had to do. Change the default view model of items that represent the specific feed items. Then it wanted us to set the default view model for group, which represent the high-level group. Since our application uses the default view model key of feed, we need to change the default view model for some of the data bindings, like the page name. To do that, let's click on View Designer. And if we make this a little larger, we'll scroll up. And we'll see if we just scroll around. So we have a column definition for the page title, and we'll see that it's bound to group. We want this to be bound to feed instead, and in the designer you can see that it's actually selected the text. Now the first thing I want to do is actually change the title panel. So let's select the title panel, and that includes both the button and the actual title. And let's jump out of full screen and set some of its properties. So let's zoom in and make sure we have the title panel grid control selected. To make things easier, we're searching for the column span property. So just start typing column span and we see here the column span property. What we want to do is set this property to 2 so that it can span 2 columns. And if you can't read that, we can always just expand this a little bit so we can see the column span property. Just make sure that's selected. Now let's zoom out. And under the title panel, let's select the page title element. And we'll zoom in here again and make sure the page title text block is selected. And now let's do a search for the text property. And I'll just bring my cursor up all the way up till we see the text property. In the text property marker, we see that it's orange, so it's set to a data binding. And what we want to do is go ahead and change this. So we'll do create a data binding. And we'll click and zoom out here just so we can see this a little better. In the Create Data Binding dialog, change the value in the path right here. And instead of group.title, we want feed.title. I'll go ahead and click OK. And you'll notice this is now changed to binding feed.title. Let's click F5 and actually see what we've done. Now when we click on this, we see the title directly here. Now that we've changed the binding for the title to be from the group to the feed, we now want to actually change this data and have display in a web view. By default, the split page template shows the details for the selected item in a text block. However, the string that contains the post content obviously is in plain text, it's actually HTML. When you want to show the string in a text block, you see a bunch of HTML tags, which is definitely not what we want. Instead, we're going to use a web view control to display the HTML. You can also change the layout used to show the title and content of the selected blog post. So let's get started changing this. We'll jump back to Visual Studio and click Stop. Next, we're going to do some deep dive into the XAML code here. So I'm going to change the panes to have our code be larger, and I'm going to full screen this. Now what we're going to do is replace that third pane scroll viewer with our own custom code. To do that, I'm going to click the swap panes and just minimize this so we can look at some of the code here. Now what we're going to do is replace the contents of the scroll viewer named item detail, and we're going to build this scroll viewer from scratch ourselves. So let's select the scroll viewer and I'll just click the plus sign here and I'll click delete to delete it all. Now let's add a scroll viewer control. And we're going to set a number of properties here. The first one obviously is the name, and we'll call it item detail. And I'm going to set these vertically so you can easily follow along. We'll set the automation properties, automation ID, equal to item detail scroll viewer. Next, we need to say where the scroll viewer is going to be located. It's going to be located in the second column and the second row. And we'll do that by using the attach property of a column and say grid.column equals 1 and grid.row also equals 1. And because the column count starts at 0, this is the second column and this is the second row. Now let's add a little bit of padding. And this goes clockwise from left to right. So left, top, right, bottom. And we're going to set the data context here. And we'll be adding some data binding, the selected item. And the element view, of course, being the item list view. Now let's add an end bracket here for our scroll viewer. And the one thing I want to do is jump out and show you can visually set a style as well. So with our scroll viewer selected, I'm going to search for a style. And I'll just zoom in here. And I can choose a local resource. And I can choose a specific style. And I want to choose a vertical scroll viewer style. That means it's going to allow us to scroll vertically. And let me jump back to our page. And I'll add a line break here. And what we've done is set the vertical scroll viewer style for that scroll viewer. And that's defined within our standard styles.xaml. Now that we've defined the scroll viewer, we actually need to define what it contains. And we're going to put all our data within a grid. Let's define the grid. And let's say name equals item detail grid. Now within our grid, we want to define a couple of rows here. To do that, we'll do grid.rowDefinitions. Now, for our two row definitions, we're going to size them a little differently. For one, we're going to say auto-sized, and that'll resize the row automatically based on whatever's inside it. So if something's large inside it, it'll size it large. Something small, it'll size it small. And then another row definition here. And this is going to use an asterisk, which is a wildcard, and say, give me whatever the remaining height is for that row definition. Now that we've defined the row, let's actually add some data here. I'll scroll down and add a text block to represent the item title. And we'll just call this item title. And we'll set the binding of that to title. This binding will get us the title for the currently selected item. Now let's define a border. And we'll call it content view border. View border. And we're going to set a couple properties here. The border brush, we'll choose gray. Let's set the border thickness to 2. Now we need to say where this is going to live, so we'll say grid.row equals 1. We want to set a margin property as well. Margin equals 0 on the left side, 15 from the top, 0 on the right side, and 20 from the bottom. We have a border there. And now within our border, we're going to define a couple more things. We'll define a grid. And inside our grid, we're going to have a web view and a rectangle. First, our web view control. And we'll call this content view. And now our rectangle. And we'll just call it content view rect. And one last thing we can do is change the style property for this item text block here. And I'll click Shift Alt Enter to exit. We have the item title selected. And let's go to the style property. And if we click here under our local resources, we see all the standard styles that are defined here. And what we want to do is select under standard styles the subheader text style. By clicking on that, it automatically puts in the subheader text style. Now let's look at our web view control. The web view control gives you a way to host HTML data within your app. If you look at its source property, you see that it takes the URI of the web page to display. For HTML data, though, is only a string of HTML. It doesn't have a URI that you can bind to the source property. Luckily, there is a navigate to string method that you can pass your string of HTML to. Whenever you use a web view control to view content that might not be available, make sure to handle any failures that occur. With the web view selected in the content view, let's go to the properties and then the events menu. Find the navigation failed method. Navigation failed. And double click it. And we'll zoom out and we'll see that Visual Studio has built a navigation failed event handler for us. Now we're going to go to full screen mode, build an error string message, and then display it in the content view. To do that, let's get started. Error string equals page could not be loaded. And we'll build another p tag here. Error is. Now what we'll do is actually display the error. e.webErrorStatus.toString. And end our paragraph tag. Now let's set the content view, this.contentView.navigateToString, and we'll navigate to our error string. Now that we've handled navigation failure, let's go to populate the web view. Next, we're going to populate the web view. To do that, we're going to expand the local page navigation section. Under here, let's navigate down to the item list view selection changed method. Let's add some code under the selection changed. And what we're going to do is get a reference to the selector list. Selector, let's just call it list equals sender as selector. Let's get a reference to the feed item. Selected item equals list dot selected item as feed item. And let's quickly check if the selected item is null. If it's not null, let's load the content view, this.contentView, and we're going to navigate to the string. And that string is going to be the selected item.content. that represents the actual blog post. Now we also want to handle if the blog post is empty. So we'll add an else statement here. And if it is, we'll say this.contentView.navigateToString and we'll navigate to an empty string. Now let's exit full screen mode and click F5 to run our app. Let's select the blog. Ooh, cool. Now we have an actual web view control that displays the data and not just the HTML. Next step is we're going to jump back to Visual Studio, click Stop, and we're going to change the detailpage.xaml. Let's go to Solution Explorer, and we should see detailpage.xaml. In the detail page, let's go ahead and zoom this to 140%. And let's full screen it so we have some real estate here. And the first thing we'll do is actually change the page title. So with our cursor selected on the text block, let's actually jump out of here. And we'll see in the properties window, make sure that the properties are selected, not the events. And this time we're going to search for text. And we see the text here, and what we want to do is create a data binding. Now at the very top of this dialog, select data context. And under data context, that gives us the ability to set a path. And the path that we want to set is title. So we've changed the binding type to a data context and the path to title. And now let's click OK and zoom out. Now you may have noticed that the message in the create data binding dialog says the data context is not set. That's OK because we're going to set the data context in code when we run our app. Now in the detailpage.xaml file, after the title grid, but before the Visual Studio Manager, we're going to add some XAML code. The first thing we'll do is define a border, and what we want to do is include a web view within that border. Border, let's set the name to content view border. Border brush, we'll set this to gray. Let's actually do Shift-Alt-Enter to jump to full screen. And a couple more properties that we want to add here. We'll set the border thickness equal to 2. We'll set the grid row equal to 1, so it's the second row, not the title row. And then the margin. We'll set this to 120 on the left, 15 top, 20 on the right, and 20 on the bottom. Let's add a bracket here. And within this border, we're going to add a web view control. So we'll define a web view. We'll call it content view. And we can also add an event handler here called navigation failed and use the Visual Studio feature to have it automatically build an event handler for us. And we'll just end that bracket there. Now let's right click on here and say navigate to event handler. And just like we did before, first let's set the zoom property so you can see. Just like we did before, we're going to handle the navigation failed event. And just like we did with the split page web view, let's go to the split page xaml.cs, and at the very bottom, we had a navigation failed code. I'm going to copy paste that code. It's going to be the exact same thing we do for the detail page. If for whatever reason the navigation failed, we'll display our error string and actually show the error message. Next, scroll up to the load state method. Inside load state, what we want to do is add some code to navigate to the web view to the selected blog post. To do that, let's get the item title. And we'll get the navigation parameter. So now we have something that represents the item title, and we're going to use the feed data source get item and pass in the item title. Feed item equals, and again, we'll use that feed data source dot get item, passing in the item title. Now let's check if that feed item is null. And if it's not null, we're going to say this dot content view, which is our web view, dot navigate. And instead of navigating to the string, we can actually navigate to the hyperlink. So feed item dot link, and that'll navigate to the page. And we'll set the this dot data context equal to the feed item. The reason we're setting the data context is because if we switch back to the detail page XAML, we'll see that the page title text block is actually being bound to the feed item title. So that way we see the title of the feed. And now let's exit full screen and make sure everything builds. Thank you.